Welcome again to our Sunday stream. It must have been 8 years ago when Caleb, our youngest son, went to Auschwitz, and it made a lasting impression on him. The railway track, the gas chambers, the photos, and the shoes, thousands of shoes. So many children's shoes. I think that moved him most. At the end of the day, they had a time of remembrance, and they read Psalm 23. I've been to Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum just outside Jerusalem, the huge memorial hall, and people standing there weeping, some wailing, thinking of parents, grandparents that they'd lost. And again, at the end of each day, they have a time of remembrance and they do the same. They read Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is special, precious to every Jew. Of course, it's part of the Hebrew hymn book. It's the songbook of the Old Testament, penned by David, the shepherd boy, come king. It's his personal testimony, his God story. Years before, on the hillside looking after his dad's sheep, now as an old man with the benefit of hindsight, he looks back and says, "Where I was to my sheep, God's been to me a million times more." This has been called the shepherd's psalm. It really should be called the sheep's psalm, because it's as if David gets down on all fours and views life from the level of one of his sheep. Don't forget, it's part of a trilogy. Psalm 22, Psalm 23, Psalm 24 are messianic psalms. Psalm 22, the cross. Psalm 23, the crook. Psalm 24, the crown. Psalm 22, the good shepherd dying for the sheep. Psalm 23, the chief shepherd leading the sheep. Psalm 24, the great shepherd ruling and reigning and returning for his sheep. Basically, the whole sweep of God's salvation story ahead of time. 1,000 years before Jesus came, it's all about him. Rescuing, rising, reigning, and returning. David refers to God as the Lord in capitals. It's Jehovah. So sacred was the name of Jehovah that no Jew ever dared allow the name to cross their lips. In fact, only the high priest once a year went into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, and he whispered the name Jehovah. But here David exclaims and proclaims the Lord, Jehovah, the covenant God, the holy God, is my shepherd. Not back there in the dim and distant past. It's up to date. It's an ongoing reality. He is my shepherd. It's a personal, individual relationship that David has with God. And the verse ends with, I shall not want. When we get older, we tend to downsize. We go through things and throw things, and we keep what's essential and get rid of the rest. Well, David downsizes, and he has all he ever needs in him. That's what we all look for and long for, isn't it? Satisfaction. According to David, that's only found in a relationship with God. And again, Psalm 23 is written from an Old Testament perspective. From a New Testament perspective, the shepherd is who? The shepherd is Jesus. He's who we need. He's all we need. Soul satisfaction found in Jesus Christ. He's our shepherd, our sufficient shepherd. Today, because the Lord is my shepherd, everything else flows from that. The rest follows on from that. Verse 2, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. As you can see, I'm trying to keep to the theme, green pastures, and over here, a babbling brook. So grab your cap, grab your coat. If you have some boots, that would be good as well. And let's head out to the farm, let's head out to the field. Although many modern day shepherds, modern day sheep farmers, use drones and quad bikes to check on their sheep. And they drive their sheep instead of leading their sheep. So we need to step further back and think Bible times and place ourselves in David's shoes, in his shepherd's sandals. And the first picture he paints is one of rest. Here's this boy from Bethlehem, and there's not much for sheep to eat in the stifling heat. Just a few patches here and there. And so the shepherd would take his flock onto the pasture land, to the luscious green grass still covered with early morning dew, so they can eat away to their heart's content. But as the sun gets higher and stronger, it's time for them to rest, to lie down. That's important for their health and for their well-being. Of course, sheep are easily startled. It's scared very quickly. Any little noise and off they go, and they become terribly restless. I have a book written by someone called Philip Keller, not Tim Keller, but Philip Keller. He was a shepherd before he was a pastor, and from his experience with his flock, with his sheep, he tells us that sheep need to be free from certain things if they're ever going to rest. They need to be free from friction. They're social creatures. There's a hierarchy in the flock, and if there's any friction at all, they can't relax. And they need to be free from flies. Flies come and lay their eggs, and the eggs hatch and live in the nose and on their faces and cause abscesses and great discomfort. And of course, they need to be free from fear, says Keller. They feel in constant danger. They're very timid, and that's key if they're ever going to settle down. And so the shepherd, he has to deal with all of the above, and only then will the sheep be at peace and settle down. And what's more, sheep like doing their own thing. They're stubborn. We'll talk more about that next week. But they don't know what's good for them. So sometimes the shepherd has to force the issue, put his hand on their head, even grab their ears and push them down, make them lie down, stop them in their tracks so that they can be at rest. The emphasis in the verse is in the word make. And as David remembers doing all of that for his dad's sheep, he also knew that on many occasions God did that to him. God had to handle him strongly and firmly and make him lie down when he wasn't willing or wanting to lie down. God boxed him in by circumstances. God put him in the corner, as it were, locked him down, put him in isolation for a while. In the New Testament, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, did the very same to his disciples. At points we shake our heads, don't we, as we listen to the disciples. They have so much to learn. They're full of questions. They even challenge Jesus and rebuke him. They give him an earful. And Jesus uses different situations to stop them in their tracks, to grab their attention. And he has to force the issue. Remember, on one occasion, he told them to come a apart and to rest a while. And he took them to a deserted place and he taught them and he hammered home some key truths that they had to get hold of. Sometimes the Good Shepherd has to do that with us. We're constantly on the go, like the man who jumped onto the horse and rode off in every direction at once. Lots of noise, lots of activity, but he didn't get anywhere fast. And we're a bit like that. And we need to get off the treadmill, off the merry-go-round, and press the pause button, and sit down, and stop. And the shepherd has to force us to do that sometimes through sickness, maybe. What about this lockdown? He's trying to get our attention. He has something to say to us. I wonder, what's he trying to say to you? What's he doing in you? What's he teaching you? What lessons does he want you to get hold of? Some of us are stubborn sheep, and we're hard to nail down, hard to pin down. But he's got us now. But he doesn't want us just to stop for the sake of it, for the fun of it, to prove a point, because he's vindictive or he hates us. No, he loves us. He has our good in view. He wants to teach us. He wants us to grow. This is for our well-being. Matthew Henry, the old commentator, said this: God wants his saints, his people, to lie down with contentment of mind, whatever their lot is, knowing their souls are at rest in him. And that makes every pasture green. In other words, it's less about our circumstances, it's more about what God is doing in us, the interior life. And it's a supernatural thing. Paul writes to the Philippians and he speaks about anxiety. And he says, don't be anxious for anything. Rather, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And then he says this: you'll know the peace of God guarding your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the God of peace will be with you. He will bring you to a place of peace and rest, where we find peace and rest in him. Didn't Jesus say, come to me if you're weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest? In the upper room, Jesus said to his disciples, peace be with you. They're restless sheep. They've been scattered, and here they are back together, but they're frightened. And the shepherd appears, and he wants them to come to this place of peace and enjoy and know his peace. And that's what this psalm is all about. And other psalms, David tells us to rest in the Lord, doesn't he? I wonder, do you know that peace? Do you enjoy that sense of stillness? Can you relax? Can you rest in who he is, and what he's doing, and who we are in him? That's the first picture David paints. He makes me to lie down. Naturally, left to ourselves, we're always in the run. I'm late for a very important date. No time to say hello, goodbye. I'm late. God says, no more running from me. Start running to me and rest in me. If necessary, out of love, because I care for you, I'll make you lie down. He wants us to submit and there find stillness. Next, not only rest, but refreshment. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and then he leads me beside the still waters. Sheep don't like fast flowing water. Of course they don't. With their woolly jumpers, they wouldn't last very long. So they stay well away from rivers with fast flowing water. The shepherd therefore has to go over, get into the river, and pull out some rocks, pull out some boulders from the bank, and create a dam and stop the flow, create a pool so that there's fresh, clean water and it's safe and still for the sheep to drink. And David says the Lord does that for his sheep. He knows they're vulnerable. He knows they're susceptible, and so he takes care of them. He goes before them and sovereignly orders their circumstances. He doesn't test them beyond what they're able to bear. How kind, how compassionate is he? Again, David went through many trying and testing and difficult and dangerous times in his life, desperately dangerous, but he knew that God had ordered all of these things. God had his finger, as it were, on the thermostat and spared him and saved him from unnecessary danger and difficulty. And yes, sometimes we're exposed to things that we'd wish them away, wouldn't we? But our shepherd is wise, and he knows what we need. And all the while, behind the scenes, he has his finger on the temperature gauge. It's never off the temperature gauge. He's leading us by still waters, that we might regularly get refreshment and have the assurance that he's in charge. Paul in Romans tells us all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And sometimes we repeat that verse as a bit of a platitude. No, it's in the context of growth, Christ-likeness, sanctification, masterfully, wonderfully. Our God, our shepherd, takes and makes and molds us with a whole variety of things to accomplish his will in us and conform us to the image of his Son. I guess when we're trusting the wisdom of the shepherd, the goodness of the shepherd, knowing that he has our good in view, our well-being at heart, that's the place that we need to be. In him making us lie down in green pastures and leading us by still waters, he wants us to be at rest, and he wants us to enjoy times of refreshment. So how does this all speak into our particular situation just now? What's Psalm 23 saying to you and saying to me today? Yes, written long ago, but more up to date than tomorrow morning's newspaper. Tailor-made, bang on, relevant for us, right here, right now. Isn't that true? A few weeks ago, I talked about Johnny Erickson Tada and all that happened to her. Her accident, she tells us, God used that to make her lie down, to be in that place of soul stillness and rest and peace. And all the way he's been leading her, and he's brought her to cool, refreshing water. And she tells us it's not a one-off thing, it's an ongoing thing, a daily thing, a moment-by-moment thing, humbling her under his mighty hand, that she might follow him and his leading. resistance and rebellion is the road to nowhere, whereas submission and surrender is the path to peace and plenty. I guess in closing, the question is, do you belong to the shepherd? Do you belong to Jesus? Do you know him? Does he know you? Do you know anything of his care and his kindness, his goodness and his grace? And maybe in these days you're more aware of how restless you really are. Anxieties that lie dormant come to the fore. Someone defined anxiety like this: it's a future without Jesus. And a future without Jesus is something to be anxious about. You need to come under the loving care of the shepherd. Peter tells us in one of his epistles, we've gone astray, but we have returned to the shepherd of our souls. And the only way to do that, the only way to be part of his flock, the only way that we can say the Lord is my shepherd, is in the context of the trilogy that we spoke about at the start. Psalm 22, the cross. Psalm 22 comes before Psalm 23. And of course, the big context of the whole flow, the whole sweep of God's salvation story, this psalm points to Jesus. 1,000 years later, after this was written, Jesus comes and he claims to be the good shepherd. And here we are, another 2,000 years down the line, and he calls us to follow him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters.
Good shepherd of my soul, come dwell within me. Take all I am and mold your likeness in me. Before the cross of Christ, this is my sacrifice. A life laid down and ready to follow.
Good shepherd.
Good shepherd of my soul, come dwell within me. Take all I am and mold your likeness in me. Before the cross of Christ, this is my sacrifice, a life laid down and ready to follow. The troubled find their peace in true surrender. The prisoners their release from chains of anger. In springs of living grace, I find a resting place. To rise refreshed, determined to follow. I walk this narrow road with Christ before me. Where thorns and thistles grow, and thorns ensnare me. Though doubted and is mine, he never leaves my side, but lifts my head and calls me to follow. And when my days are gone, my strength is failing, he'll carry me along through death's unveiling. Earth's struggles overcome, hands journey just begun. To search Christ's steps and ever to follow. To search Christ's depths and ever to follow.
Amen.
Amen.